As you approach this underground chamber of stone, your senses are flooded with an acrid smell and a chorus of sharp buzzing overlapping itself. When you get close enough to see into the chamber, your eyes follow the curved paths carved into the walls on either side of you. The room has an uneven floor with multiple platforms of stone jutting upwards, lined up in a shape somewhat like a horseshoe around the room, the couple feet between their neighbor. The paths of light continue from the walls of the stairwell and crawl in branching patterns along the floor and walls of this room, all of which is flooded with that paradoxical light that moves like a bright white magma oozing slowly outward from the chamber. The source of this impossible energy is from the center of the room, where the energy forms a semi-translucent cylinder from floor to ceiling, fully encasing the woman you shared your first kiss with. Ida had, just this morning, been by your side in the lab, each of you working on your own projects while stealing glances from each other. Each time she would blush and bow her head, but not before a smile would crease the corner of her eyes. Those eyes, which now blaze with that same bright white illumination, making them impossible to look at for too long, and a look of unconsciousness with her lips slightly ajar. The woman you thought you knew hangs in midair, a foot off the ground, wearing a black bodysuit with her arms stretched wide and wrists limp in thick iron cuffs attached to a similarly heavy collar by chains made of the paradox energy with a purple hue. Bolts of lightning arc off the cage, encasing her in every direction, hitting the edges of the room like a plasma ball. One of the bolts streaks across an ornamental carving at the far end of the room, breaking off a piece which smashes to bits as it hits the ground, echoing loudly and causing Ron to roll out of the way at the last second while trying to remain behind cover. Ron, a tall, muscular woman with oak skin and short, dark orange hair styled with her bangs up, wears a dark tank top, cargo pants, and boots, and who, at this moment, is sweating and out of breath. She catches your eye for just a moment, and with a look of fear, mouths, "Help!" In the same moment, on the other side of the room is Nyssa, slumped against one of the raised platforms, leaving nothing between her and the lightning sweeping across the room. From this angle, you can't see her face, but it is clear she is currently unconscious and unable to respond to the danger. And of course, nearest to you stands Quill, their clothes singed and torn, leaving their muscular tan back exposed and their neck craned back, looking up at Ida. You've seen Quill express rage and disgust with you before. You've had them take their frustrations out on you and argue with you more than once. Right now, though, when you approach the perimeter of the room, they hear you and turn to you, wide-eyed and panicked. You see lightning streak across them, tearing another line through their shirt, causing them to grit their teeth and wince in what is obviously an immense amount of pain. They can't seem to get the words out at first, stuttering. It was an accident. I don't know what to do. Tiffany, you look at the destruction done to the room and harm done to the people. You know you don't have the combat training like Ron or Quill, and you aren't special like Anya or Argus. You know for a fact that racing into the room would be a terrible idea for someone like you. What do you do?
I race into the room. I mean, come on. You can't set me up like that and not think that's the conclusion.
Yeah, he's gonna give you every option. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the situation.
Sorry, that was
that's long. Bad.
Not a map.
So you race in the room. I'm gonna need you to make an immediate risky limited defy roll just off the bat.
You know what my defy score is?
Zero.
Correct.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't know if you're built for running it.
Somehow, damn. I got a four.
Four and a six. I saw the six. I was so excited for a moment.
Nah, that's not how zeros work.
It's not how zeros work. So literally this roll was just to see if you can make it into this room, like, without getting blasted back. So Tiffany, describe how you are managing to dodge or get out of the way of this lightning that's just, like, traveling around this room, and I'll tell you what the consequence is.
She is just going in and doing her best to, if it's all coming from Ida, just keeping her eyes on Ida and moving if she sees anything looking like it might be pointed towards her, going to the side, but always trying to move forward.
So are you just heading straight to her? You're not taking cover?
So, I mean, as I look in, I'm seeing, so a lot of it looks like it's coming from the light sconces towards her, right? Towards the cylinder around her?
Outwards from the cylinder.
Outwards from the cylinder to the sconces.
Exactly.
Okay, so it does seem like she is the origin?
It does seem that way. Also, the lightning is traveling around the room, so like it's moving.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So it's something you would have to contend with.
I fully expect to, once we get through this, spend the rest of this episode with some pretty nasty harm on. But that's how we roll. So first thing I am trying to do is, as quickly as I possibly can, get a sense of what might be going on with this cylinder and what might stop it. I'm trying to get in to get closer to see what's going on. Does it look like cover would actually help? Like, if I look at where there are objects in the way, does it look like the lightning doesn't show up behind them, or does it snake around?
Yes, it does both in a way, but you can see that, like, Ron, for example, is ducking behind cover, and while the lightning is, like, sometimes arcing around, it's better than just being in the way. Like, it's doing something, but it's not doing everything, you know?
Okay, then the first thing I'm going to try and do is just get to Quill and throw them, like, push them to get them to move behind cover.
Quill, who is, like, twice your size.
Yeah, mostly it looks like they're just sort of stumped by what's going on, and
yeah, they
in
look
the whole
dumbfounded.
Fight, flight, freeze, they have frozen.
Yes,
I'm not trying
100%.
To physically move Quill, I'm trying to prompt them out of freeze into flight.
Excellent. Then that is, in fact, I think the consequence is... they are frozen and they're not comprehending what you're saying. You go up to them. What do you say? What is it that you're saying? Are you just pushing them?
I am just saying move. Like there's no time to think much beyond that. And if that's still not working, I am going to slap them across the face just to try and get their attention.
Yes, you say move. And I think the consequence is that they're just like, they don't know what the action of that is. They're just looking at you. They're looking at Ida. There's a confusion. It's like they are just not sure what is happening. You can also move your token in Roll 20 if you'd like. There we go.
They're up with
you all have
Quill.
Control of your own stuff. So I've ticked the good clock, quote unquote, by one. I'm also going to tick. No, we're gonna leave it at that.
There are four clocks. For the viewers at home, or the listeners at home, there are four clocks, and the good one that we've been told exists is the longest one by far.
Yeah, it sure is. It's 12. It's only one so far. While you're doing that, we'll get to you slapping Quill. What are the others doing? Anya, Argos. Your friend has just run into the room, who maybe is the out of the three of you. The worst one to be in this situation.
Yeah. Well, I did promise to protect Tiffany from herself. But also, I probably looked to Anya first and kind of before barreling in, like, what do we do?
Anya immediately transcends and tries to help Tiffany. Not sure what to do in the situation, but well aware that... I mean, someone's got to. Maybe she can get some people out of the room.
So you immediately transcend, and what do you do?
Rush past Tiffany to grab, well, whoever's furthest in the room. So
Nice
looks
is
like
unconscious
yeah.
and not behind cover. So, or
yeah,
Nissa,
that's it, yeah.
This sounds like a flow roll. You are trying to, like, weave and dodge, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Get there as fast as possible and get back, it sounds like. So this is going to be another risky roll. This is going to be standard. Mm-hmm. This is a risky standard flow roll. Now remember, you all have things that you could do to make these rolls better.
Mm-hmm.
Though I know, actually, Anya, you are good at flow.
Oh, I'm very good at flow.
Yes, I think it is your best move.
Uh-huh.
One of two of them.
Mm-hmm. I almost had a six of that.
Well, I'm glad you had two. That's a 3 and a 5. So you do it. Describe what you're trying to do.
I think Anya runs in and, having sort of like watched Tiffany head straight towards Ida, sprints past Tiffany and scoops up Nyssa and tries to roll with them behind cover and sprint back towards where Argus is. Sort of a like scoop dive into a sprint back out of the room.
So you get there. We're going to say like you get to Nyssa. You're not out yet. That's going to be like a different role. Mm-hmm. But you have Nyssa. You can get Nyssa behind cover in this moment. Mm-hmm. The thing that I think happens is there is a streak of lightning that is about to hit you and Nyssa. And you have to like dodge out of the way at the last second. How do you dodge? Like what does it look like when Anya focuses and moves?
I think it looks like...
And this is transcended Anya.
Yeah, yeah. Almost as if moving through, like swimming through a shimmer, their body propels itself forward through space and in the direction that they're trying to head. So like kicking off of a wall that's not there underwater and just gliding forward.
Do you want to get Nyssa like behind cover here or over here?
To the left, yeah, just because the entrance is in this direction.
Yeah, you're trying to get that.
That seems like
the
smarter idea. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that happens is as it sweeps across the room, almost catching you, it breaks something. It sweeps across a wall and just a crack just runs through the wall. I'm going to tick this clock twice. As debris rains down and you start to just the whole room, just all of you for a moment, just feel the room shake. Argus.
Can you describe the cage for me? Or the thing that is holding Ida? Like what?
The energy similar to that of the fire that isn't hot, the energy that is similar to the shield that was protecting both the city from the ship as well as you and your grandfather when you went out, that same feeling of energy is the thing encasing Ida in this moment, but in a cylindrical sort of tube from floor to ceiling. Okay. And it is sort of raised slightly, so it's like it itself is on like a cylindrical dais, not even like a dais as in it has steps, it's just kind of slanted where it has a circle that slants down into a wider circle with like a mm-hmm. like a circular ramp up to a little podium.
Okay. Ida is also like manacled and stuff, but is not like attached to the dais or anything. Is just
the thing is she's attached to herself.
Yes. Okay.
There are iron cuffs around her neck and wrists. Her wrists are like limp, like she's unconscious. It's like the rings are held up, but she is limp, but the chains are attaching her wrists to her neck. The thing is, you've seen this before in your vision. That was mm-hmm. true even in your vision.
Mm-hmm. I think Argus is also going to transcend. He's going to become right. Kyrus, his true name or whatever, and gonna use my transcended ability on the other side of time. When you push yourself,
also since we have
since
we have two transcended people, what did the two of you look like when you're transcended? Because
yeah,
like,
can
how
we
does
like
the transcendence
get some action
happen?
Shots?
What do you look like? What's going on? Let's have some
Thank
cool
you.
Visuals.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's do it.
So let's say some. It's almost like bullet time for a second. Argus sees some electricity coming towards him in these streaks, and it slows to almost a time stop as he sees the bolt slowly coming towards him and then begins to blink between two different locations so that it misses him. His eyes change color, yes, and I don't know, he gets more swole. He starts looking really buff. It's because I want that to happen right now.
Gotta get those gains.
He's got to really... He's trying to intimidate the lightning.
If you stand taller than the lightning, it'll be scared.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least it'll strike
him. You put
him
your arms out to the side.
He's trying to, he's going to goad the lightning into hitting him and no one else. And so, I hope that's enough of a description. I'm not sure I have anything
that's
else.
That's great, thank
time.
You.
Yeah.
And, does his costume change?
Oh, yeah,
it
I think
did
it
before.
Does. Yes, he gets kind of a more, almost like a military uniform, wasn't it? Or was it just some kind of armor? Because he, I'm imagining something with some big like shoulder pauldrons or something, but.
Hell yeah. If it wasn't
I mean,
that before, it
you
is now.
You don't have to ask questions. Exactly. Yeah. You can declare it.
And let's say he has like a rat tail or something, just for fun. Like he gets hair yeah. for a second.
He gets hair?
Yeah, he gets hair. Somehow, then he usually has a buzzed head, right? So
I love that.
Now he's rocking the Anakin Skywalker do.
Yeah, yeah. And he's kind of Super Saiyan and there's some smoke coming out of
you
his.
You have the same hair as your grandfather when he was young. Though your grandfather
oh,
had
fuck
a lot
yeah.
more hair.
Fuck yeah. That's I like that.
That's actually a fun idea of like this wasn't true before, but after that vision,
yes.
there's just something.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's still really sitting with him. I mean, it's so fresh. I'm sure he's going to have some time with that later.
That's true. So, that was only moments ago for you.
Yes. Do we want to describe Anya's transcendence or do you want to do that after my move, Anya?
I can wait till after your move. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on the other side of time, when you push yourself, choose one of the following additional benefits. You trade places with your fated person. You briefly remove an ally or foe from the flow of time. I would like to... Oh, yeah. I wanted to trade places with Ida, but she's not my fated person. So I guess I will remove Ida from the flow of time for a little bit. And pushing myself,
okay.
that's taking a stress, right?
Yeah, so this would be part of an action. So as right. you're taking some sort of action, when you push yourself, you get the extra dice or position or effect. But you also get one of these things if you use this move.
Hmm. Let's see then. Who haven't we... So Ron is still conscious and hiding behind cover.
Yeah, Ron
Nissa
seems...
is passed out.
Ron seems like she's handling herself.
Yeah.
But like... Like she is, she wants help, but she is maybe the least in danger out of the three of them. But that's a relative thing.
Yeah, I think I think Argus is going to go straight to the core of the issue, being Ida at the center of the room, just like really barreling in there. What happens if he tries to get through the cage? Like if he tries to touch it, like it does it? Is it very
well,
likely
find
he's going to get
a
lot of damage? Or okay. I just want to see what happens.
Let's find out with a roll. That sounds like a defy, that you're just pushing your way through it?
Yes. Like just tackling, like full-on, like,
brute
shoulder
force.
To the, yeah.
Fuck yeah, let's go. That's
punching
a fucking desperate, if I ever heard it. Mark
yeah.
experience, this is a desperate great.
Desperate great. Transcendent, yes.
In sun, by the way. Specifically experience in sun. Because it's defy.
Oh,
well, I want you to
right
know
now?
Something very funny. I currently have 5 out of 6 points in sun because I was going to get defy as soon as I could, and then the first thing I had to roll was defy today, which I don't have.
Yeah,
but you only rolled a risky because you
didn't try to
push your way through a fucking barrier of energy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't really change
that was coming.
Can I?
Yeah. That was coming. Okay, well, let's see how well it goes for Argus.
If I spend stress, can that change position or just effect?
So it can do either. The way it's written, I think it's one or the other. But the other thing that you can do is you can trade position for effect. So you can have a worse position for better effect. So like ultimately, you can do both. Because if you can do one, you can do the other.
You can do one, then you can do the other. Okay.
That's true in Blades in the Dark. I don't know if it says it explicitly in Girl by Moonlight, which is based on Blades in the Dark.
That has
actually, I want to really gamble because
like,
I have
in the
2 points.
Game, so it's true. In
I have
game.
2 points in Defy, and so maybe I'll spend a stress to increase the effect and keep the desperate position. Can I do that? Do
All
an
right.
extreme effect instead, or
that
is that like
does
two?
Exist? It does.
It requires
like,
more.
It does. It's really like you know what. Fuck it. If that's what you want and you don't want an extra die, then sure. Fuck it.
Yeah,
we'll do an extreme effect. Better
just
than
like
great. That's what
really,
you wanted, right?
Really bursting into transcendence. Yeah. just like barreling into the room.
Go big or go home.
Okay. Desperate, extreme, bonus dice zero.
You don't want like a poisoned promise or anything like that?
I'm not feeling that desperate right now. I think he's just like fueled by adrenaline.
Y'all are doing, good.
So,
I mean, I can spend a link to give you a bonus die.
That's true. Y'all have a bunch of links.
Sure.
There you go. Take a bonus die from a link.
Oh, thank you. Okay. What'd I roll?
All right.
It's a five.
A five, a one, and a four. It's good and it's bad. So you do it, but it is a desperate position. Let me just tick this. So that means that's up to five. So this clock goes to 5 out of 12. However, this clock goes to 3 out of 6.
Okay.
I'm not telling y'all what. So the reason I'm not saying what the clocks are for the audience is the players don't know what the clocks are.
We so, sure don't.
Yeah,
so we know that the 12.1 and a 3 out of 6 is the good one.
2 out of 8, 3 out of 6, and 0 out of 4 are the other clocks that the players know about at the moment. You push your way into it. Describe what it looks like as you're pushing your way into it. And if you don't have an idea, I will supply it.
I'm imagining almost something like as he's hitting the barrier, it's like he's really trying to get through it, and you can see his body kind of like vibrating and flickering as if trying to transpose to like get past it. But there's so much lightning, it's not really possible. He's just like slowly digging in. Like, I don't know if you've seen Dune, but like the force fields they have in that, and when stuff comes in contact with it, there's a lot of just like shimmering and slowing, but you can still see there's so much force behind it, but it's like barely getting through, if it gets through at all. I'm imagining a lot of light.
Yes. A lot of light. So you're just forcing your way through it. You're like, it's like inch by inch, your shoulder just like pieces through it at first. There's like, you feel like, I'm not going to give you lasting damage, but for flavor, you just feel like a burning in your shoulder, just like overwhelming at first. And you just like keep pushing. Mm-hmm. Then your like head starts to go through, and you're like, you start to feel dizzy for a moment. And then finally, you push your way through. And you go unconscious because this is a desperate position. And because what the others see is you go in there and immediately your eyes begin to glow. You begin floating off the ground and you are in the same position as Ida. However, what you see is much different. Argus, you are back where you were only moments ago. It is pure chaos. Around you is a city of ice. You are in a dark storm that is overtaking everything. Buildings are destroying themselves. People are running and screaming. And in the center of the city are two small children hugging each other. One of them, you see, very much looks like a very young Ida. The other one looks like a child of the similar age, closely resembling Ida, but not quite. And they just look terrified. They're not moving. No one is helping them. They looked overwhelmed.
Well, if I can, I think Kairos would go to them, try to shield them if there's any danger around.
Let's come back to you in a moment.
Perfect.
That's great. Tiffany, what are you doing? Your friend has just gone into a barrier and joined Ida.
Yeah. Well, Quill is still doing nothing, which is not great.
So you
I'm
slap
noticing.
Them?
Well, I might. First thing I want to know, just very quickly looking around. So the lightning is having an effect on these strange light sconces, right?
Not specifically, but like
no,
it is
okay.
Destroying them.
Okay, but so does it seem like you say there's similar energy between the two of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So what I want to try and make a guess is, do I think based on that there might be some utility in like grabbing whatever it is to try and interface with the prison, as it were?
Make a gather information check. How are you doing this? It seems like what you're doing is analyzing. So yes. When the gather information is an action roll, and this is going to be an action roll, this is going to be a risky It doesn't really have an effect because it is a gather information, but it is a risky standard insofar as what you would have to select.
Okay, risky standard. Let's go. That's a six.
Oh, fuck yeah, let's go. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Two questions and one follow-up. And because it's an action roll, you have no consequences. Like, six means you suffer
six
no,
means
no harm.
Success. Okay, yes. So my gather info options. What is most dangerous here? Who here is feeling X? What are you really feeling? Who here is strong or vulnerable? Where can I find beauty here? What are your unmet needs? These are much more social than what I am trying to assess right now. Though, I suppose one could feasibly argue what are your unmet needs perhaps could apply to, like, what is needed to to access, like, to try and break Ida and Argus out of this strange prison.
Like, you could be like, what are your unmet needs, and direct that at Ida and Argus.
Yeah, because I feel like right now they do kind of need to not be in this state.
Yeah. What are your unmet needs? With the knowledge you have of the storm, and you're thinking about these sconces, and you're seeing the lightning, and you're putting things together, you're thinking about things, you're thinking through things, and you see this light coming out of their eyes, what they need is a conductor. As in, like, an electronic conductor, where what is happening is energy is going through them, and it is almost unraveling them in a way.
Basically, I need to ground the energy and have it not go through them anymore.
Exactly. You need to divert the energy. And you can see Argus going into this cage, basically, has essentially removed half of the stress off of Ida, which has been huge. But it does mean that half of that is going through Argus. What you see, maybe what tips you off to this, is you're focusing on the sconces, and it hits one of those sconces, and it just, like, erupts into bigger flame. It's like it gets energy added to it. So you realize energy is coming out, and you see this almost flow coming from the cage, from them. Something about this you can hone in on and make the estimated guess of: this cage is connected to them.
Right. Okay. And second question, what is most dangerous here? I'm sure I'll get more information than just this thing. So
this
it's probably
thing.
Still worth asking.
It's this thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'll give you this. There are two things that are dangerous here. One of them is obviously the energy and whatnot, but it's more so what the result of this energy is. You start to see Ida. You were seeing Argus flicker out of existence for a moment. You see Ida start to do the same. Ida doesn't do that normally. Not that this is the
Not
first time you've
know.
Seen Ida like this. Yeah, exactly. Not that you would know. But, like, Ida is flickering out in a way that is different from Argus. The thing that is partially most dangerous to the person you love, well, that's a big statement. Who knows? To
it's
the person you've
statement.
Kissed. Is that something irreversible, you can just feel something irreversible is taking place. The other thing that is most dangerous, maybe to everybody, is that you are seeing around you another kind of irreversible damage, which is very literal and physical, as the room around you is breaking. You felt a tremor earlier. You are under a city. That is maybe the most dangerous thing.
Cool. And my one follow-up. What is the best way that I could ground this energy, that I could conduct it away such that it would stop the harm? And
Tiffany,
just to put it out there,
around...
my own safety is probably the lowest priority here.
Great. Good. Tiffany, as you're looking around the room, you start to think, why does this room exist? Why is this a room? And what catches your attention is at the back of the room. At the back of the room is a carving. As around the room, you have these platforms that are raised. Around the edges, you have these carvings. There's symbols. You don't know what these symbols are. They're everywhere. But at the back of the room, there is this statue coming out of the wall. And in the eyes of this statue, there are some kind of orb, some kind of like the statue is stone, but there's some kind of reflective orb in the eye. And you get the sense that this is somehow you get the sense that if you could somehow use this statue, it could be a conduit.
Well then, the first thing I am doing is making my way to the statue as effectively as I can. I will say, I think I saw how Anga moved through the room, and I'm going to try and do my best to do something similar to that, because that seemed like a better way than just brute forcing it.
That's fun. Anya, do you want to briefly describe what your transcendence looked like, and then maybe a little bit more description on how you were moving, just so we can get a mirror from Tiffany?
Sure. So when Anya transcends, they shed and reabsorb like their existence almost. They become a vague presence. And I think that looks like a ripple passing over them of shimmers as they step forward that first stride. Their clothing sort of becomes more opalescent, and it's almost as if their skin shimmers gold and copper. And the bells in their hair begin to glow. And Anya, with each step, it's almost as if like these ripples are removing what feels solid, and she almost becomes a being of ethereal color. In striding forward, it's like leaping through smoke, but the smoke is also still part of their body. They dive, and as they dive over, grab Nyssa and pull her into their chest, and that full scoop, one fluid motion, into a spring where they push off the ground and dodge that arc of lightning to pull them behind cover.
And Tiffany, what does it look like when you replicate this?
I mean, it's a little less showy, but mostly it's trying to, you know, move, I suppose, with grace to a degree, but just trying to move smoothly and evenly while staying out of the way of the lightning. I'm trying to see where the lightning might go and not be there.
Tiffany, I'm going to ask you to make a desperate limited flow roll.
Cool.
Go ahead and mark Star's experience.
Yeah.
I am
going to push myself
into this room. Fair enough.
Because I think this is important.
Fair. It is desperate because you are actively walking into the room of lightning.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm assuming you're not taking like a safe route of going behind cover. You're literally just running past the cage that is spewing off.
Going safe is going slow. People are at risk here.
Of course.
We can't go slow.
Of course. Yeah.
We must move quickly.
I just want to make sure. I don't want to give you a desperate situation for no reason. I just want to make sure.
I accept the desperation.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's see how that goes.
That's a 5. I'm very, very glad that I pushed myself, because that was a 2 on the first die.
I saw you roll 2 dice, and usually that means you're rolling a 0. I was terrified.
Nope. I am pushing myself. So 2 dice with flow, and we're going. So I make it, but
increasing this 5 out of 12 to 6 out of 12.
Also, as I go, I am just like not making a roll. It probably won't have an effect, but I am gonna like push off of Quill to both get some more speed and be like, get out of here.
Again, I don't know if that even jogs them out of their confusion. But you see this almost odd look at you, just running into danger. Quill's opinion of you is not very high, but in this moment, you're just getting the sense that they are impressed. They don't know what to say. But yeah, no, they're still standing there. So you run towards the statue and you make it. The thing that I think happens is 2 things.
Cool. I love consequences.
All right, let's see how you feel in a moment.
Bring it.
one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to increase one of these clocks by one.
Don't love that, but okay.
So that's 2 out of 8. Now, of course, y'all can resist these, of course. Don't ever forget that. The first thing that happens is you get struck by lightning. And you're going to take the level 2 harm burned.
I would like to resist that.
Fair.
Because level 2 harm is bad news.
Yes, let's start with that one. So you're resisting that, so you're resisting it how?
That is, where is the resisting?
I believe it's sun, because it's harm.
Why resist a consequence when you can lean into it?
Resisting consequences. Yes. Here we go.
Violence
consequences
and fear
from violence
sun.
And fear. Yeah, so that's sun. Rolling.
Did you say this was a
sun.
Severe consequence?
No. This is desperate.
Oh, desperate. Okay, never mind.
Wouldn't a severe consequence be like level 3 harm or worse?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a level 2 harm.
I just have a thing. I just have a thing.
But I know what. Yeah, I know what you're trying to
thank
do.
Thank you. Oh, great. Continue.
Someone else could try to protect me from harm. An ally can protect me from consequences, and if you do that, you do get a +1 to your die. If you don't, I get +1 XP, because I am running foolishly into danger. So, you know, I'm happy either way.
Take XP.
Someone might protect me from consequences. So if no one comes to help me, I mark XP. So Anya might help me.
Argus, you're not out of it yet, I guess.
Yeah. So what it comes down to is, does Anya protect me from consequences, or am I resisting?
Anya would see you run for the statue and try and project a shield over you with that same shimmery light.
Cool. So you get +1d on protecting me from consequences.
Yeah, they don't want you to die. They don't know what the hell you're
doing. I don't have to resist. You
get
to
resist. Yeah.
So now you're rolling a resistance roll, Anya.
Okay, and that's Defy.
And presumably you're now next to me.
Just Sun or Defy?
Sun.
I ain't nobody's son. I'm a daughter. +1, right?
Yeah, no. +1.
That is magic.
3, 2, and 2. I mean, you're only taking 3 stress, but you are taking 3 stress.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stress. That's a lot.
It's not that much stress.
That's 1/3 of our stress.
Is the consequence reduced, or is it gone entirely? Is it successful?
It's gone. We're doing 2 levels of reduction instead of 1 level of reduction for themes. You throw this shield. What are you doing to throw this shield? What is Anya physically doing?
Anya sort of reaches back into the air and materializes one of those bells that she's got in her hair and chucks it full force. And as they throw it, it sort of scales and envelopes Tiffany and becomes just a shimmering shield, a bell-shaped shield around Tiffany as the lightning arcs out towards her.
Hell yeah. Tiffany, I think you just like whip around to watch this lightning almost strike you, and you are just immediately, something is in front of you and around you for a moment and takes the hit, and you just see lightning just that would have just hit you. That would have just seared right like across you. You don't know what that would have felt like, and I don't know if you want to know what that would feel like, but you just watch it pass right over you as you get a glance of Anya just reaching out and having thrown something. The other thing is that lightning then arcs off and hits part of the statue, causing another small tremor to occur. Again, you can resist these things. You just have to tell me if you want to resist that.
I don't know. If I'm going to be risking resisting, it's probably going to be against like the really bad ones.
All right, cool. Then yeah, I'm ticking that clock from 2 to 3 out of 8.
Yep,
so
that's fine by me. Yeah, a 1 point. If it was a 3-pointer, I would probably try and resist it.
Fair enough.
I know
you helped, but you haven't taken an action yet, Anya. So what is it? Are you just, you're just trying to get Nissa out, right? You're just continuing to do that.
Yeah, I think all Nissa's behind cover at this point. Anya is torn. There are too many people that are all kind of not in a good way. And I think Anya is going to look at the situation and see if there's not a way to help as many people at once. And in their mind, that is probably to contain whatever's happening to Ida. So seeing that Tiffany has been shielded, seeing that Nyssa is now behind cover, seeing that Argus is with Ida, or was, or some weird shit's happening there, I think Tiffany is going to try and invert that same shield that they used on Tiffany to keep the lightning from radiating off of Ida and sort of contain it as much as possible while Tiffany does whatever Tiffany's plan is, like bubble it.
And this does kind of feel like a defy as you're just like focusing. You're just like paying all attention to this one spot. It sounds like you're just trying to like make an orb around the cylinder and contain all the lightning.
Yeah, I think what happens is Tiffany puts whatever she's doing, and Anya just sort of sees that, okay, this is going to continue being a problem. So Anya reaches out both hands on either side of where their field of vision around Ida and begins to focus, and out of the air around Ida, a big sphere begins to appear and shrink closer and closer. And as it does, it becomes a bit more, not solid, but a bit more substantial, forming kind of, again, like a bell shape, trying to slowly encapsulate in that shimmering, transparent light.
This is not an important detail, but when you say bell, you do mean like a bell on a cat toy that's circular, right?
Jingle jangle,
not
yes.
Like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to bet, because I feel like... I got what you're saying, but I'm also imagining some people might be imagining a bell tower bell.
No, she's not Taco Bell. That's incredibly racist. No. I'm Puerto Rican, not Mexican. And also, like, wow, terrible fucking...
And also not a fast food chain.
Yeah, exactly. And there's other things to associate than that. Anyways,
So this sounds like a desperate... Again, I'm making y'all do a lot of desperate roles, but I really need to emphasize this is not a great situation.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This is a desperate situation.
Desperate standard transcended.
I would say desperate great transcended. Oh. Yeah, a desperate great and take an experience in sun because you're doing desperate.
And no bonus dice.
Unless you want bonus dice. There's links, there's pushing yourself.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend promise. Some links.
Well, I would spend a link to
someone
give you
to
a bonus.
A
yeah, but I will ask. Spend a link because I think this is very important.
Uh-huh.
Though technically, you can do the thing we were doing before of like, spend a link to clear stress and say you're pushing yourself so it negates the stress.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is also an option.
Also, remember, when someone spends a link, someone else clears stress. So spending a link cam, choose who else clears a stress.
I'm going to choose Anya because Anya just burned 3 stress on protecting me. Additionally, so did anyone have stress to clear when I used the link on Argus earlier?
First
I was pretty
move,
early.
I
didn't have any stress at that point.
I had stress.
So. I had 2.
I don't know why.
I think they both did, actually.
So then I will clear one from Argus because Argus was the one doing it. So I'll have spent the link on Argus and also cleared one of Argus's stress.
So that was from before. So go ahead, Argus, and clear one stress. Anya, clear one
stress.
And you get +1. Do you additionally want to push yourself?
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
Yes.
That's 2 stress. So go ahead and add 2 stress unless you spend one of your links to clear 2 stress and basically not take that stress.
Yeah, I'm going to do that and spend a link with Tiffany to do that. So
okay, cool.
Oh, it's only when using clearing stress as a result of spending a link. So those 2 stress that I cleared don't actually clear.
Right, sorry, I mixed it up. So actually, Anya is clearing one person's stress. So
Anya's clearing 2 stress from one person. Because it says equal stress.
I have never been more confused.
Okay, okay. Yeah, we'll sorry, do one thing at a time. Let's undo what we did before. So Argus and Anya, you gain one stress back. Just we'll start there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep.
And then Anya, you choose someone to clear two stress.
Okay. So I'm clearing two Tiffany. Stress for myself, and I'm going to clear two stress for... Who has more stress? Argus, right?
Argus. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. I've got two.
Yeah, so Argus.
Or sorry, three, I guess.
Well, now you have one.
Yeah, I've got... There's always the one that we can't get rid of. I don't count that. So.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Okay. So I am clearing two stress to be... Is that what happened?
You're clearing two stress. In the end, you're clearing two stress. Yes.
Done. Mm-hmm. Now, thank you.
I have one bonus die from Tiffany spending a link.
And then one from pushing yourself. So you have two bonus dice.
Yes. And then if you wanted to spend another link, which I think is what you're doing, you don't gain the two stress of pushing. Okay. We're all good. It sounds like we're good.
So two bonus die. We're good. Let's roll.
Let's do it.
These rolls are weird. Four, five.
I don't know. It has three eyes. I know snakes don't. So
I am going to increase this clock from 5 to 8 out of 12. As you do this, the thing that is going to happen, though, and here is gonna be where Argus, you can use your move if you want.
Oh.
Because Anya, as you basically take the brunt of all of this energy, I think it hits you harder than you realize. You're going to take the level 3 harm.
Yay.
I will take. Oh, but can we? I need help kind of narratively determining how that would work.
Yeah, let's get to that in a second. So, Anya, you were going to take the level 3 harm. I wanted something more than incapacitated, where essentially you are just like frozen in place. You can't do anything because all of your energy is just focused on essentially absorbing this immense amount of energy, leaving your body kind of just immobile.
Mm-hmm.
And this energy is coming off of Argus and Ida. So Argus, the move you want to use is Lost Cause, correct?
Yeah. I can read it if that helps.
Yes, please.
Lost Cause. Once per transcendence, when an ally suffers severe consequences, you may choose to abandon this timeline for a better one. Consequences they would have suffered are replaced by your suffering level 3 harm, which is called Traveler's Despair. Your relationship to the person you save is different in this timeline. They will tell you how.
That is taking you out of commission. If you do that, like you need help to act with a level 3 harm.
I kind of like that though, but.
Well, I think the big thing is that suffering consequences could also be literally death.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like it could be basically you are taking yourself out of the picture to prevent something even worse. And in this instance, it
but
would be kind of an equal trade.
Yeah.
In this case. Well, yeah, because severe consequences is not a mechanical keyword, right?
Oh.
Like
it's level 3.
It is.
I would say you could also replace fatal, which is level 4. I would just say like at least level 3. So level 3 or level 4.
I wonder if I can negotiate in this moment.
Okay.
If
you
I
could
were
also
to...
Anya, you could also resist this.
I'm fucking gonna.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Probably
so
the,
let that
the
go
better
first.
Play yeah. here.
Uh-huh.
So that would go to a level 1 harm. You resist it. This could be stars from panic, where you just immediately are just overwhelmed by this feeling. And you just are in this very moment needing to respond. So go ahead and roll stars.
Okay. I cannot push myself for this. I can't take a poison promise or anything along those lines.
No.
Oh boy.
Oh, that's a one.
So take
five stress.
Whoa.
That makes sense. And you take the level 1 harm sore. As like you're resisting this, you're still moving, but your body hurts.
So I'm removing the level 1 harm hunky dory and replacing it with sore.
Yes, which means all of your moves will have a lesser effect. So that's one level of lesser effect. You probably don't. Yeah. Okay.
I was
so
just
if you do
you
get two level one harms, that's two levels of effect reduced, which is pretty bad.
I'm going to...
All right.
If I can, narratively, can I spend the link right now or no?
You can. But another thing you can do also is spend your special armor to reduce the level one harm further and not suffer it at all.
No, I'm just going to spend one stress. And I think Anya locks eyes with Argus and kind of exhales, knowing that this seems to be helping, and drops two stress from it. So spending a link from Argus on myself.
I don't know if you're able to catch his eyes as they are currently glowing and kind of unconscious, but you do drop those two stress, Argus. Argus, you are in absolute chaos. There is a city being destroyed around you and two small children in front of you holding each other and crying. What do you do?
Gosh, okay. He's frozen for a second. I mean, there's chaos, there's noise, there's debris. I think he's going to pick up one of the kids, or both, if they are small enough. If not, he'll just grab one by the arm and pick up the other and try to run to a clearing or an exit or to the outskirts of the city. Just trying to move out of this space. If the kids will move with me, I mean.
Do you pick up Ida or the one who isn't Ida first?
I'll pick up the one that isn't Ida and reach out for Ida's hand.
This is where we're going to do a roll. So okay. You pick up the other child. They are holding on to each other. Do you try and remove them from each other?
No. It'd be more of like, I guess I'd go down on my knee and he'd look at both of them and say, like, I'm here to help. Please, will you come with me? Let's get out of here.
They're crying, and I think the younger Ida just like wipes these big tears out of her eyes and just looks at you and is just like terrified and looking at you, not really saying anything. You're trying to discern what this look is, and you're trying to connect with them, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Maybe this is an express or an empathize.
Yeah, I think he's trying to express that he is a friend and that he is someone that wants to help. Even though I have a point in empathize.
Yeah, are you trying to understand them? Or are you trying to like get something across to them?
He's trying to demonstrate that he is on their side and he wants to protect them.
Okay. I think in this moment it's only risky. Even though everything around you being destroyed, This is not really the riskiness of this situation right now. But I think this is a risky standard. I don't know if you're transcended in this.
Oh,
version.
Really? Okay.
I don't know if you're transcended right now.
That's fine.
Like you're transcended, but I don't know if you see yourself here in this city as transcended.
Sure. I'm going to spend a stress to get an extra die here because I have, so I'm not at zero. So it's just a straight roll. Risky stuff.
This also means this doesn't count towards your transcended moves.
Thank you. I'll keep that. That's what I was assuming too, but thank you for clearly stating that. Okay. Oh, it's a two.
That's a two. Yeah.
Hello, fellow kids. I am.
Hello, fellow kids. Oh no. So what is it that you're saying to them? What?
I'm sure he's saying all the right things. He's like, "Oh, we got to get you out of here. Look, it's not safe to be here. I'm here to help. I know you don't know me, but I'm here to help." But I'm sure he has this look in his eyes that is just crazed. Just like he can't quite school his expression enough to seem to have that kind of, to express through his body language that he is, you know, a calm, protective person at this moment, although he wants to be. Like he probably just looks really scary to these kids.
And I think like something a little unexpected happens, which is this younger version of Ida looks at you with almost a level of recognition and says, Argus, I can't leave him again. I can't go. I have to be here for him this time.
Ugh. Fuck.
I don't think they're going to go with you. And I think what you start to see is you start to see just the beginnings of energy form around Ida.
So Argus recently had an experience in which he witnessed the past. And he too had this deep need to try to change it or to stay with it or cling to it. But he kind of learned that he couldn't. He could only witness it and move on, you know, so far. And maybe in this moment, as much as he wants to stay with the both of them and try to change what has already happened, I think maybe trying to persuade Ida that as terrible as it is, like maybe this can't be changed.
Yeah, like you can do that. And I think it's great. I think doing that would be great. I do think it'd be a different role.
Yeah.
And
so Dark Omen will ignore Dark Omen. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to resist this?
Yes.
Let's start there. I mean, I guess you can be doing exactly that, but we just say it's not Dark Omen. Like you're not technically saying anything about the future.
Yes.
You're just recounting your own experience.
Yes.
Ida hears you. And this is a heartbreak. This is heartbreak. So roll moon. Oh,
well, you're fine.
Fuck wow. Yeah.
Big six. Baby.
No stress. You are really speaking from the heart here. Like you truly feel it in this moment. Maybe is there something that just like hits you emotionally that you are like not meaning to draw on that you do accidentally that really conveys that like you're serious. You're not gonna let her suffer the same thing that you went through.
I think he just, you know, looks at Ida, puts a hand on her shoulder, looks her straight in the eyes and says, You will always be with him here. You're never gonna leave him, okay? He will always be in your memories. But you have to all go and let what has happened happen again.
You see her look back at this young boy. She starts crying again. And I think she just looks at you and it's just like, How?
Argus looks distant for a moment. His eyes kind of unfocused before he looks back at Ida. He jams a finger at his chest and he says, There's a place in your soul and your mind that no one will ever touch. And in there will be you and him. But it won't be like this. It will be the most beautiful place you've been. And you will be free of fear in there. Whenever you come back to here, there will be a bright path which you can take. This is not the only place you will stay. There are others I cannot see, but I know they are there. Why don't we go there together? Why don't you show me?
Give me a confess roll.
That's a 6.
This clock goes from 8 to 11 out of 12. You are kneeling down so that you are face to face with Ida. She looks back at this young boy. And I think she just like lowers her head and is just crying. and just like walks towards you and like is gonna try and hug you.
Yeah, I let her.
And she's just like sobbing into you. The young boy looks almost desperate, almost reaching out at hand, and he says, "I'll protect you again, Ida. Don't worry." You see that he starts to have this energy around him instead. Argus, much like your vision, you start to see a beam of light surround both you and Ida coming off of this boy. A level of transcendence you have never seen before. As this beam of light shoots up and through the clouds, and he starts to raise above the ground, slowly raising higher and higher and higher. His eyes are glowing. It's just like Ida is in the present. And as he keeps going up, the chaos around you swells. Buildings are destroyed. People are dying. But in this moment, in this like small area, you are untouched, as is Ida. It's happening again.
Argus just holds her tight. He doesn't want her to see, but he watches the whole thing. The light burning his retinas. He can't look away.
Tiffany, you see Anya is barely containing this lightning, but is doing it.
I am going to try and figure out what I can do with this statue.
Give me a desperate standard analyze.
That's a six.
Tiffany, there is something old about this room. Something reaches out to you in this moment. Almost an echo of the past. Is it a war if all you do is stand and do nothing? You don't know where that's coming from. But as you look at this statue, this is like a failsafe. You see that the energy is coming from these orbs.
I reach up and I remove them.
As this energy dissipates, it starts from the statue and it just goes towards the cylinder, and Argus and Ida fall to the ground. Quill runs forward and actually catches them both. And Argus, as this young boy raises high above the city, this explosion comes from off of him. It pushes away the storm, and you watch as he starts to fall towards the ground, and you go unconscious.